This is Reflections of the Lighthouse, a podcast sharing the hope of the gospel for those struggling with life-altering addictions. If you'd like more information about the Lighthouse and the services they provide, visit biblicallliferecoverycenter.com. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon Bauer and Dwayne Modlin.
Welcome to the Reflections of the Lighthouse. Today, we're going to talk about fear. The verse that we're starting with is in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, Pastor Dwayne, you're joining me again today. This verse commands us to fear God.
It does. But the question has to be, what kind of fear is that? Is it a shaking in our boots? Or is it a reverence for God there? And honestly, I think it's both, Brandon.
Some people see God as this awful person in the sky that's going to zap me if I do wrong, and they're scared to ever sin or step out of place. So then they create rules for themselves. Mm-hmm. If I wear head coverings, or I only wear dresses, or if my family worships me, or if I go to church every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, that's more of legalism.
Mm. Which is
a type of
God.
Fear. It's a type of fear, but it's the wrong type of fear. I think, and I know it's later in our notes, but I'm going to go ahead and quote it from John Newton, who I love. Love Newton's story. He wrote in Amazing Grace, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." He was terrified because he was a sinner standing before a holy and a righteous God. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and finishes the sentence by saying, "And grace my fears relieved." Right? Now it's no longer I'm terrified of God. It's I have this reverence and awe at his amazing love and his amazing grace towards me, the sinner, right?
So I think it's okay to fear God because, well, we're commanded to, but
yeah.
When we fear God, we have a realization that he has the ability to expose our sin.
Yes.
He hates sin and doesn't want us to sin. And if we are living in a sinful lifestyle, we should be scared that that will be exposed.
Yeah, but God exposes it not out of cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
He exposes it out of grace towards us, the sinner, in discipline. Yeah. The Bible says God disciplines those he
loves.
And that is part of the discipline, is exposing that sin that may be in our hearts that we keep hiding.
Be sure your sin will find you out. Yep.
Yeah.
So early in college, one of my classmates gave a short presentation on the fear of God, and it has stuck with me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
His definition was, to fear God means to love what he loves, to hate what he hates,
yes,
and to have an utter dread of ever displeasing him. So if we break that down, fearing God requires us to love what he loves.
Mm-hmm.
What does God love? God loves people.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old Steve Green song, God loves people more than anything, and more than anything, he wants them to know that he died to let them know that God loves people more than anything.
Yeah.
I may have butchered that. It's been years since I listened to it.
I love some Steve Green.
If we don't love people, we're not fearing God.
Yeah.
God wants us to be in relationship with people, broken people. That includes everyone, because we're all broken.
Where does racism really stem from? It's a fear. It's a fear of somebody who is different than me. So I love D.A. Carson, one of his quotes. He says, the church is not a natural group of friends. It's actually a natural group of enemies who, for the sake of Jesus Christ, love one another. because of what Jesus has done. He's at the center of what they've done. So I often tell the guys here in the program, you know, because I hear people say, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. And I'm like, well, if you love Jesus, you have to love the church. You have to, because that's his people. They're flawed. They're messy. And I'm flawed and I'm messy. I hear people say, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let's just add one more.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So God is a relational God. We're created in his image. And a part of that is that we are relational beings, created to exist in community.
So to fear God is to love what he loves, which is people.
Yep.
And to hate what he hates.
Sin.
God hates sin.
He hates sin. He hates pride, rebellion, which we just talked about in our last podcast.
So if God hates sin and we're to fear God, that means we have to hate sin as well.
Yes.
Doesn't mean we hate the sinner because God loves the sinner. So we're to love what God loves, to hate what God hates, and to have an utter dread of ever displeasing him. What does it mean to displease God?
To displease God is to do the opposite of what you're created to do. When we try to function outside of what God's created us to do, it would be like a plastic clock up on the wall jumps off and says, today I'm going to be a frying pan.
Hmm.
And he jumps up on the stove and he turns the stove on. What's going to happen? He's going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When we start functioning outside of what God's created us to do, we get burned every single time. God is displeased with that. He wants the best for us, right?
Yes.
That's it. That's his goal, to love us, to redeem us, to call us to himself.
So if we had a true understanding of fearing God, it would be, in summary, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates, and to have that utter dread of ever displeasing him. And I think if we could do that, we would radically transform this world.
I think it'd radically transform us first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that should be the goal. First is us. The opposite often of fearing God is being critical. I think this is what Jesus in Matthew 7 says, before you deal with the speck in your brother's eye, deal with the plank in your own eye. Look at yourself first. And I think if we lived like this, Brandon, you and I,
mm-hmm.
before we looked out here and we looked to us, I think it would totally transform our lives.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I can tell you right now that I don't always fully live up to this.
Psalms 31:19 says, how great is your goodness for which you have stored up for those who fear you.
Man, goodness. God is so good. The Bible says that goodness will pursue me
all the days of my life.
Isn't that amazing? And this is what God wants. He wants my good. Because in my good, he gets glory.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if anybody could call, email, text, whatever, if you can tell me how God does all things for his glory and my good, if you can explain that, I would love to understand how all of that works together. But right now, I just trust that it's true.
If you have those answers, you can visit our website and send us a message for Pastor Dwayne. but before we get too out of control here, I want to talk about fear. Most fear is sinful.
Yeah.
Fear that controls us is mm-hmm. sinful. We see that with recovery.
Yeah.
People are terrified of walking out of a recovery center, because what happens if?
Yeah.
The fear of the future. We have people that are just bogged down in fearful thoughts that control every moment of their life.
Yeah, you know, for our guys, often it's the fear of relapse, right? And I tell the guys, I said, if that's all you focus on, if that's what's consuming you, then it will end up becoming a reality.
Sure. There's this family that I know that was so terrified during this pandemic that they did not leave their house.
Mm-hmm.
He quit his job. They pulled their kids from school. They wouldn't let family visit. They had groceries delivered to their house, and they left it on the porch for 2 days to make sure that whatever was on it evaporated before they brought the groceries in. Now, I'm not saying there was some serious health concerns around the pandemic, but here is a family that withdrew from everything,
yeah,
in fear, and it was life dominating and sinful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lack of trust in God.
Yeah.
That fear, that type of fear, the guy who's in a program consumed with fear of a relapse. And I get that. I do. I've been there. Or the family you just discussed, it's that we're saying, I can't trust God here. So in that moment, you're not fearing God.
Sure. We've talked about this in the last couple podcasts. Fear is a result of not trusting God.
Yeah.
It's normally a result of being focused on ourself, our future, our circumstances, mm-hmm, our desires. It's me, 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 me.
Yes.
Which creates a fear when I'm going to lose that or
lose the control. And that's what we really saw with that family, right? They felt like they had lost control.
Fear doesn't need to control us like
no.
that. The Bible sets up biblical love as the answer to fear.
Yes.
To sinful fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. What is perfect love, Duane?
Christ.
Absolutely.
If you want to see what perfect love looks like, it's the God of the universe wrapping himself in human flesh, living a perfect life, dying a substitutionary death, being raised from the dead, seated in heaven, and is continuing to pray for us and to serve us. That's what perfect love looks like. It's a heart of servitude.
So what do I do if I'm fearful? I'm sitting here at home listening to this podcast, or I'm driving, and I am just riddled with fear. What do I do?
I love, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in our next podcast too, but I love the story of Joshua. God says what? He promises, I'm with you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. And then he tells them, everywhere your foot will tread, I'll give you that land. Now, let me ask the question, Brandon. Did Joshua face battles?
Yes.
Did he face struggles?
Yes.
Even though he had the promise.
Mm-hmm.
But what Joshua could do is face those battles and those struggles holding on to a promise that God gave him. He could go into the battle. God said, and I'm going to trust God here.
So translate that to the 21st century.
Yeah.
I'm fearful of fill in the blank.
Well, I think we can go to the scriptures, find some promises that God has given his people, us, right, if we're following Christ. We can find those promises concerning that particular fear. Say, you're fearful that God really hasn't forgiven you, and that any moment he's just going to light your world up. Well, you can go to Romans 1:8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when that thought battle comes and that fear comes up, I've got something to grab a hold of, a promise from God to hold of, and to fight that battle. And the Lord will fight that battle for me if I cling to his promise. A promise is like this. Have you ever booked a hotel room?
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a confirmation number, right? You go to the hotel room, and all of a sudden, the hotel, and they're saying, we don't have your room. Well, I got a confirmation number. I don't know what you got to do to get me a room, but I've already paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can build one. You can do whatever you want to, but I have a promise that I have a hotel room. That's our confirmation number, right? That promise from God is like a confirmation number for us. God has won the victory.
Mm. Praise the Lord. There's a man that we really respect around here. His name's Randy Murphy. He wrote.
Yeah.
He's the CEO director of a program called Called to Obedience. It's a program. It's a discipleship program that we take each of the men in our program through. But Randy Murphy said this: where pride is the result of having a too big view of ourself, fear is the result of having too small a view of God.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently talked about pride in a future or previous podcast.
Yeah.
Pride is me taking God off the throne of my heart and saying, I've got this.
Yep.
Fear is me saying, God's not big enough to handle what I'm going through.
Yeah. A.W. Tozer said, what comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Right. When your God in your when God in your mind is small, then you're not going to trust that promise. But when you understand that your God is the creator of the universe, that he defeated death itself, right, then you can hold on to that promise in the middle of your fear.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you won't ever be afraid. I don't think God says, hey, you're never going to be afraid. You're never going to face anything that's going to knock you back. I think courage is standing up in the face of fear,
mm-hmm.
holding on to the promise of God and saying, I will not bow to this fear.
And an amazing promise of God is that he's given us his Holy Spirit to be our comforter
yes.
and our strength and our guide while we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I think it's an amazing thing that we have the power of God living within us as believers to help us overcome these things.
Now, the valley of the shadow of death was a real valley. It's a real valley in Israel that people would go through. And even during the day, it would be dark. And bandits and people would be up there, and then they would come down sometimes and kill people, steal their goods, and things like that. This was a real fear that people had. Mm-hmm. And God says, even there, I'm with you. I got you. That's another promise we can hold on to.
So we have no idea what the listener is going through right now.
We don't.
But we know there's people out there that are struggling with deep fears.
Yes.
We want to go back to the beginning verse, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And then we define fear as to love what God loves, to hate what God hates, and to have an utter dread of ever displeasing him. If we start there with God on our side, we can overcome anything that lays before us.
Yes.
And there is hope in that.
I would say he can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
yeah.
with his help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we insert ourselves into the biblical stories.
Sure.
Have you ever done that, Brandon? Like,
yes.
conquer your giants. And I'm like, well, David didn't even conquer that giant himself.
Right.
He says, the Lord has given you into my hand. You know who we really are, though, often, Brandon? We're the army, the army of Israel, cowering at the giant.
Very often.
And it's Jesus who steps in and defeats our greatest enemies, death, hell, and the grave.
Thank you for this amazing discussion. We're going to continue this on our next podcast, A Discussion of Fear, Part 2. We want to take a moment to invite you to our upcoming Poverty Summit that happens on April 18th, starting at 6 o'clock. It is a two-hour free event where we're going to partner with Shepherd Community Center from Indianapolis to talk about what poverty looks like in our community, what believers and community workers can do to help in this situation of poverty. And then we're going to talk about what the Lighthouse is doing and how you can join us in fighting poverty in our community. So please, it's going to be a free event. Please join us on April 18th for our Poverty Summit. Thank you for listening to Reflections of the Lighthouse.